Halli, hello. You're listening to a Landmark podcast. Welcome to the first podcast made by Far Off Places, in which this magazine of written whimsy is a whole 1 year old. We've just discovered the joy of chucking porridge behind radiators, and our parents are expecting to be able to record our first words sometime in the not-too-distant future. Thanks to everyone who came and celebrated our birthday with us and helped us to eat cake. It was lovely to see you all. And a particular thanks to Kay Bowen and the chef that she managed to dig out, who made such wonderfully delicious punctuation-themed cupcakes. If you didn't manage to make it to our birthday party, fear not, we're involved in an event next week where there probably won't be cake, but which is going to be wonderful. The lovely Nicole Strachan invited us to be involved in V equals MC squared at Edinburgh's Summer Hall on Friday coming. The theme is textiles, so we'll be using extracts from some of our texts for the issue that we're currently working on, which is sartorial, in an exhibition that we're really excited about. It's going to be quite unusual and quite different to what we've done in events in the past. So whether you're a fan of fashion, or if you want to see how we collaborate with other media, or if you just want to have a sneak preview of what'll be in our next issue, then come along to V equals MC squared at Summer Hall in Edinburgh at 7 p.m. on Friday the 28th of March. Tickets are available via the Summer Hall website. For now, though, it's time for two pieces from our latest two issues, Under the Bed and Between the Leaves. Both are by Jolie Badger, who writes particularly delightful whimsy for young people. If you like what you hear, there's more where these have come from, so get yourself to our website, faroffplaces.org, and download your very own copies of the magazines. But for now, if you're sitting comfortably, then we'll begin. The space beneath. On the last night, in the last bed, old man asks them to move him over to the window. He tells them it's so he can blow out the stars, and they smile fondly at him, thinking him sweet and confused, but they won't move the bed, and they draw the curtains. Before the last of them leaves, she sneaks back a floral drape, letting him see the pinpricks of light scattered across the night. He throws her a grateful smile that she catches before hurrying out of the room. Unoiled bedsprings and bones groan in tune as he reaches for the tiny sachets that he hid when they came for his dinner tray. His overripe hands tremble as he slowly tears through the paper packets and sprinkles their contents onto his pillow. He turns towards the window and takes a deep breath. Munster had come to Boy to scare him, as was the agreement between Munsters and children. But when he arrived, the worst had already happened, and Boy had no want or need of fear. Munster found pity and wound his thick tail around Boy's ears to muffle the sound of sobbing father from the bathroom below. Boy named Munster, and Munster named Boy, and that was that. Munster taught Boy how to burp the alphabet and blow out the stars one by one. They made up games and played for hours after lights out. Boy didn't want to sleep because of his dreams, so Munster put his teeth to use and chomped them up. Munster said the dreams were a little salty and asked for Boy to sprinkle pepper on his pillow to balance out the flavour. Boy learned to say good night and to shut out the world when he shut his eyes. Boy slept, the bed rocking on Munster's tum as he snored. One day a new bed arrived. It was bigger, which was good, as Boy was bigger too. Munster had room to stretch out, but Boy was starting to find other uses for the space beneath. Munster had to arrange himself around stiff socks and plates greased with baked bean juice. There was less time for games and no need to make them up any more, as Boy had ready-made ones that didn't always need two players. Monster had to ask Boy to start sprinkling sugar on his pillows as his dreams were getting bitter. Then came the bed that was far away, and it took Monster a while to find it, as Boy forgot to leave a map. Boy was too busy to make room, and Monster had to bend himself in weird ways, weaving around opened books and drained bottles. One night, Monster took in a breath to snuff out the stars, but Boy wasn't ready for good night and said he was going out. When Boy came back, he told Monster he was called Man now. Man didn't tell Monster about the next bed, and he arrived too late, finding another's things already underneath. Monster scrunched himself up as small as he could and tried to ask Man for salt, as their dreams were so sweet they were rotting his teeth. But Man's ears couldn't hear him, for lack of want or need. And he closed the curtains and said goodbye instead of good night. Let Sleeping Fairies Lie by Jolly Badger. I had been too careless with the other lies. I had to make the last one count. It had seemed strange at first, being granted lies instead of wishes, but he had said, "There isn't much room between the pair. Them's both made of false promises." Fairies, I was always told, were delicate things, dressed in petals with shimmering skin. But he was fat, hairy, and smelt like something that had become stuck between your toes. I was honest for 8 days straight, terrified that I would waste my final lie and lose him at the same time. But he was going anyway. It was strange to see something die in spring. As the leaves around him got greener, he got greyer. I asked how I could take him back, but he said, "There is no way back, not once the likes of you have seen the likes of me. Snug as a grub in a shrub I was, till your eyes went looking where they shouldn't." My mind whirred as I lay awake, wondering how I could right the wrong I had done. By morning, I knew what to do. I crept to where he slept in his matchbox, draped in scraps of tissue. I leant close and said, "I wish I had never met you." He was right. There wasn't much room between a wish and a lie. Like a hot cauldron, Jolly Badger's mind is always bubbling over with new story ideas for books, television and film. With a focus on writing for children and teenagers, she wants to write books that are soaked in fantasy, but somewhat waterproofed with a layer of reality so that any young person can enjoy them. She's just moved back to her native Devon after a stint in Melbourne, Australia. That's all from us for now, folks. Hopefully we'll see you Friday. It's going to be a really good evening, so if you can get yourself there, do, you're in for a treat. If not, follow us on Twitter, find us on Facebook, and you can find out how we'll be using our lies and our wishes. But for now, don't forget to blow out the stars.